Forever Dog.
Manila.
La Trees Royale.
I'm feeling extra glamorous tonight.
Giving everything you got, trying to make it to the top. Never ever gonna stop, even if you get the chop, chop, chop. Girl, you got the chop.
Don't be a bitter bitch. Just make them eat it, honey.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Chop with Latrice and Manila.
Where we give the weekly... Why can't I say weekly? That's so horrible. Where we give the weekly recap and rundown of Canada's Dragway.
Oh my God!
Keep these for the blooper reel, okay? Here we go. We're going to try that again. Where we give you the weekly recap and rundown of Canada's Drag Race. Who's on top and who...
And who gets
will get the chop. Wapow!
So... Latrice, let's chop it up.
Let's chop it up, girl. You watched, you saw, you heard, you learned.
I'm still loving. I feel like I know so much more about Canada. So last week we met the 12 dolls of Canada's Drag Race, our three judges. We had a mini challenge where they did a photo shoot on a mountaintop with a blizzard. And then we did the dreaded first challenge of the sewing, you know, whatever. We had Rita Baga who won. Lemon and Juicebox were in the bottom. Unfortunately, Juicebox had to go home. I want to thank our listeners for, contributing their knowledge of Canadian history to us.
I got lots Americans. Of messages, very sweet messages, I might say. They were very informational, informative, and sweet, like the tone. They were not offended.
Okay, so you got the nice ones. I had the Canadian listeners who were appalled that we somehow were not taught Canadian history in our upbringing. Unfortunately, we don't even get taught American history.
That part.
Where we're from.
The struggle is real, darling. So don't be offended. Besides, it's all in good fun. And like, we really have nothing but the utmost respect for all the queens. And of course, our sister country, Canada. It was fun just to see us like struggle and not know and come up with the most ridiculous scenarios of what these things were inspired by. But knowing now, I have a full understanding. And I get it now. It was still fun with our ridiculous guesses. So we love you, Canada.
Well, I think it's great because, you know, honestly, like, you know, this is a completely new show. It's very it's full of Canadian pride. And so as a viewer, when I first started watching Drag Race, it was a lot of lessons in the art of drag. But now I feel like we're getting a lot of lessons in just Canada in general. So I feel like this is a quite educational program. I want to thank a few of our listeners because they were able to email us and or write comments, and they were able to tell us things that we didn't know. Like Jacques Bibit told us that, in fact, Canadians don't have to pay taxes on any prize money they win on game shows. So whoever wins this season will get a full $100,000.
And I am...
without taxes.
So here for that. Can we go get a membership? I mean, a membership. A citizenship. Will y'all take me, please? I want all my coin, honey.
Well, unfortunately, Canada has... strictly shut down its borders. They've built their own wall to keep us COVID American
out of here.
COVID Americans away from their beautiful country. So as far as we're gonna get is we're gonna get messages from like Karen Seeley, who told us that, you know, some of the references. She says Moskukur references I'm butchering it still, which is, but it was referencing a cottage country where, you know, people like to go and get away from the city, you know, places that we aren't booked when we go to Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
So, so I want to I want to thank all of our listeners for informing us. A lot of our listeners have offered to be our Canadian liaisons or ambassadors to give us the whole rundown on what's going on with everyone in Canada. So, if you have any information about how about Canada to correct how we are butchering your great land's history, please feel free to email us at latriceandmanila@gmail.com.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's great because you know, I'm always up for learning new things.
Absolutely. You know? And we'll read the email on the top of the show, enlightening all of us on Canada's knowledge and references and you know, we'll keep it all going.
Because y'all, to our Canadian fans out there, we apologize. We don't know what we're talking about. I don't know why you're listening to us, expecting us to be some kind of authority on Canadian culture. But we do definitely want to. We have lots of listeners around the world who also don't know diddly squat. So, you know, it's educational for us all.
For us all, and it's a time for growth. So I'm here for it. And yeah. Here's to growth. I'm going to drink to that. Cheers.
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 Yes. Oh, Canada. Now, this is a podcast, so you get to listen to our sultry, sexy voices. But if you want to see how gorgeous we look, y'all, check out the Forever Dog YouTube channel, and you can watch us in drag doing our podcast.
Because we're committed like that.
Committed.
Committed.
Like crazy people.
We should be.
We committed. Got nothing else to do, so we're just getting up in drags for our own entertainment, for your entertainment. Thank you guys so much for listening and for watching. So let's talk about this episode, Latrice.
Yes. There's a lipstick message. Hey, cunt.
From
season one. I love you all so much. Lots of love, sisters. XOXO. Juice box.
I love this. It's so sweet. I feel like even when you go on this show, like even if you're there for just the one episode, you are able to have an experience that no one else in the whole world, except for those 12 other people, will be able to understand.
Absolutely.
So it's nice to see that the sisterhood has already formed, has already congealed. I'm excited that Juicebox is, you know, she's going to be legendary now as the first queen ever to be kicked off Canadian Drag Race.
Pork chop work.
The pork chop of Canada.
The pork chop of Canada. I love it.
Yes.
Have some, please. But the queens are, you know, they're certainly they're realizing that it's truly anyone's game. I mean, it's early. So, yeah, of course, it's anyone's game. You know, there's still 11 of you bitches left. So, you know, who knows who will go home next, you know?
Yeah, and stakes are high now because once you have the first queen eliminated, it becomes cemented in everyone like, oh, heck yeah, this is a competition. And yeah, I can't afford to have one little slip up because, bitch, you're going to go home otherwise.
Right.
So we have the video message from RuPaul herself. You got... you already done hair. So RuPaul makes a reference to, she's like, paging Dr. Penfeld. None of the queens knew what that was. But because, you know, now we are expected to be authorities on things, we actually looked this up.
Dr. Penfeld was a doctor that worked on seizure patients and discovered that people smell burnt toast before they have a seizure. That is really... interesting. Like burnt toast, that's so specific. You know what I mean?
I know, like before humankind invented toast, what did they smell when they had a stroke? I don't know.
That's crazy.
So I'm not sure, but I think that's really cool. So that I'm assuming Dr. Penfield is a Canadian doctor, and the whole world owes his discovery some merits. So applause to Dr. Penfield. Applause to Dr. Penfield.
Then Brooke comes into the workroom.
Ooh, yes.
And so looking does like the a snack crew, as usual. Honey. So does the pit crew. Yeah.
So they bring out a ballet bar, and which I really love because I love when they have these like little like mini challenges where they make the girls dance.
Right.
Because Brooklyn is a classically Hello. Trained classically. Ballet dancer. We instead of just the usual cartwheels and whatever RuPaul makes the girls do, we got to see everyone put on their tutus and have a good gay old time, you know, at the ballet.
At the ballet. And they're auditioning for the principal role of drag ballet, the Nut Smacker. Get those nuts away from my face. Now, you know I had to do it. I had to. Come on, nuts.
I really love it because when Brooklyn, now, I know she's sweet, but like she is establishing really quickly that she is not one to be messed with. So she's Do like not. Chasing after the girls, like ready, set, run, and run! Chasing them across the workroom and telling these bitches to get into their quick drag real fast. So what'd you think of these girls' little ballet performances, Latrice?
I mean, Anastasia really turns the party and puts on the show. She really does.
Girl, she had her whole Black Swan moment. She had like
she's doing
the full
Sinead
costume.
Turns and pirouettes. I was like, oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And I liked Lemon because she had that stupid Bjork swan outfit.
What about Boa dressed as a little girl?
That was hilarious because, like, honestly, it brought me back to when my mother. Put me in dance class when I was very young because she was like, I need this kid to like get his energy out. He's not really into sports, so let me put him in a dance class. And literally, that was me when I was in dance class when I was a little kid. I love when she fell to the floor and started doing the worm.
Right, because them cartwheels were like, they needed a cart, girl, to get her over.
A wheelbarrow, girl.
A wheelbarrow, honey. Stop, honey. Ferris wheel.
So the winners are Boa and Anastasia. They win the mini challenge.
Yes.
And a girl, they got $1,000 gift certificates to Wigs and Grace.
I mean, that is going to be like three whole wigs.
After you convert it from Canadian to American dollars. Yeah, I mean, maybe. But three whole, okay,
baby,
I love
they're going
to
be styled,
and Grace.
Shellacked, and lovely, and coiffed in it. Honey, welcome to the Wigs and Grace family, honey. Every queen has one. Should
well,
have one.
Well, I mean, it's actually cheaper if you just buy the wigs directly from her without having her style it. You know, so she might actually, they might be actually be able to get lots
full,
of wigs,
like,
actually.
Because she
yeah, because,
special
like,
colors.
I think her wigs are reasonably priced around, like, $100, like, in general. So, like, you could probably get, like, 8 or 9 wigs out of that. So,
yeah.
I think that's
well,
pretty
cool. Work. Shop and spree.
Shopping spree. Get these girls some wigs, honey.
So the maxi challenge, the queens will be overacting in a two totally twisted heritage moment inspired by the iconic heritage minutes.
Okay. So because we didn't have any clue about like Muska Krrr or Anne of Green Gables, I actually looked this up. And this is actually kind of cool. So, apparently, in Canada, they have, like, these, like, little one-minute segments on TV that they play during, like, commercial breaks or whatever. It's like the more you know. It's like that for Canadian history. And they go all out. They have, like, fully period costumes. They, like, do a reenactment, and they just give you a little slice of Canadian history. And so I was watching some of these on YouTube, and I actually watched the one with Dr. Penfield.
Oh.
Where he like discovers the seizure, and it's really weird. They have like French Canadian accents, and this lady is like on a table, and there's like a little like brain, and he's like poking it. He's like, ooh, if I poke here, what does it feel like? That's not a Canadian accent. And she's like, oh, did you spill water in my hand? And he's like, oh no. And he puts it, and she's like, I smell toast. I smell toast. And it was pretty cute. So they play these things. And they also, I watched one on YouTube where they talk about, you know, how in the late 1800s, they sent Chinese migrant workers into mines to set off explosives, and the poor Chinese immigrants would explode in these mines.
What?
Yes, girl. And I also watched another one where we talked about an African community, or a black community in Canada, in Halifax, where in the 60s, 70s, they like full on overnight bulldozed their entire community down.
Crazy.
So they could build factories.
That is crazy.
So they don't just celebrate the positive things. I give it up for the Canadians, because unlike here in America, they actually full on address like
the issues,
the terrible things that happen in Canadian history, like sending poor Chinese immigrants into mines and having them blow up, and bulldozing an entire black community down in the early 70s, which it's kind of like Jesus, but then also like, okay, I applaud them for actually like educating their country about the things that they've done wrong in the past, so that they can move past this
instead of trying to erase it. Hello.
Instead of just like
sweeping it under the carpet, pretending, you know, we're good at that. We're good at that.
Yeah, we do that here in the States. So and they do that in other countries too. So I mean, give it up for Canada.
Go Canada! I'm clapping for you.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the maxi challenge. They have two teams: Team Boa, Team Anastasia. Team Boa is Priyanka, Kind, Scarlett, Jimbo, and Alona. And then Team Anastasia.
Who was picked last?
Picked last. Just so you know.
That's the worst feeling, guys.
It is a horrible feeling. I don't know it.
But
I know
liked
it's a
I liked how they're like, oh, you're the last one, so you get to pick which team you want to be on.
Girl.
As opposed to, oh, you're stuck with,
yeah,
you're
stuck
with
this
girl.
Yeah, which is cute. Then you had Team Anastasia, Tainomi, Ritabaga, Kiara, and Lemon.
So I think it's cute. They like, you know, they obviously like took like these historic things, like these things in Canadian history and culture, and then they kind of dragified it up.
We'll get to more of the challenges right after this break.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
You got the top.
And we're back to the Chop with Manila and the Trees. So we're discussing the walkthroughs. Boa, poor baby, ADHD, IGHTV, all of those things, honey.
IBS, all of the things. Okay, I'll say this. I said this once before. I'll say it again. Winning a mini challenge just puts a target on your back. So here's Boa, team captain, and as much as I love the team that she picked, well, all of a sudden we're seeing that she's having some difficulties in her own challenge, and you know, like, she's having a hard time even reading the script and remembering her lines. And, you know, on top of that, she's like the team captain. So, I mean, well, the pressure is on.
Why can't she say Alona's name?
You know, I don't know. But Ilona? To be honest, like,
it's Ilona, right? Or is it Ilona?
Ilona. Like, I'm Alona.
Ilona.
At home. Well. Jerking off all day.
But not Alona. It's not Alona.
Not Alona. No. yeah, I mean, to be honest, though, I think it's better that Boa, with all of her ADHD, is mispronouncing Alana's name. It could be worse. It could be the host of the show trying to give you another last name, Heidi, in the closet.
And you
for an entire season long. I don't know. Okay.
So
Brooke comes, and, you know, she's doing her little walkthrough. Or he's doing a little walkthrough. Right. Gosh, I'm so confused.
Yeah, Brock comes, yeah. Mm.
And so we have a little bit of a, like a Pearl RuPaul
right.
moment.
Right, do I have something on my Kai? Face moment, right? I love
it. Do I have something on my face?
But yeah, I mean, she tells Kai, you know, she was a little too confident last week and wants to know how she can take criticism. You know, moving forward, you know, because it's important that you don't have an answer for everything that someone says to you. You got to just sometimes just suck it up and be like, okay, all right, and move on.
You know, I find that when you're up with the judges and they are critiquing you, yes, you want to take their critiques. Yes, you want to be able to defend what you're doing on the runway. This is also a performance. I think a lot of the girls forget that going up there in front of the judges is a performance. This is your
show.
One time to show off your personality as a drag queen and how you can roll with the punches. Because as a drag queens, you know, in the clubs, you know, or on our live digital shows, you have to interact and keep it moving with, you know, your audience. And I think that Kain really wasn't able to do that.
Yeah.
And then when Brooklyn confronted her in this walkthrough, Kain says, "I forgive you."
Record scratch, bitch. Brooklyn was not amused. She was not amused, honey. That side eye like, bitch, you lucky you still here.
Right? And I feel for everyone involved, because I can understand that Kain is trying to, you know, play it off, be a little, you know, have a little joke and have a little fun. But
you haven't established that yet, baby. It's right. You ain't that close to her like that. You don't know her like that.
Yes. And especially for Brooke, because, you know, she's new to this. You know, she's not a, like, decades career established like RuPaul, where, like, she just walks in the room and everyone, like, gags on her. Like, Brooklyn has to also, like, establish her authority in this situation.
Absolutely.
And here comes this little, like, overconfident little queen with a busted up gold pantsuit. trying to come for Miss Brooklyn. Bitch!
Not on tonight.
Well, we will see. Spoiler alert, we're going to see what happens.
With that, who has the last laugh? Oh my goodness.
Okay, so the other group, Brooke is sensing that Tainomi was a little bit nervous on the runway last week. And so she's...
Yeah, she was kind of giving like that deer in the headlights kind of moment. And she needs to wake up. and like be present in the competition, because girl, you don't get another chance to make a first impression. So
very true.
Wake up, Pearl.
Well, and to be honest, like when I watched the last episode, Tainomi seemed to be full of confidence.
Right.
And they're saying like, oh, you know, all these queens in this workroom, like, oh, their careers to me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, just the way her she delivers her confessionals and the way that she holds herself in like the workroom in general, I expect a lot from her. So to see her kind of wavering this early on in the competition is she's being brought down to, you know, size. Even playing and field this is with what other queens.
And this is what I'll say about that. Again, like Drag Race has a way of highlighting your weaknesses and your insecurities. Like it'll show exactly your experience level. I don't care how many years you've been doing drag. If you've been doing drag and all you've been doing is performing in the club, you don't have any acting or prior acting skills or singing skills or anything like that. It's going to show and it's going to come out. Or you can be a natural, but either way, it's going to come out and it's, you're going to be shown exactly who you are and what your limitations are. So it's important to kind of like humble yourself until you really get the full flavor of the Pringle, you know?
Or you stack them because you don't think Pringles ads are like, you know, mix your pizza flavor with your ranch flavor with your nacho cheese flavor and make your own flavors. Yeah. I want some Pringles, girl.
So they get on set. It's a green screen acting situation, and it's going to be directed by Jeffrey Boyer Chapman. And Team Bo is up first. So
okay. I love their little costumes, the little suffragettes.
Came in with the period pieces and like, they're definitely in character. Bo definitely looks great. As they're going into the challenge, she can't say her lines. She keeps forgetting, and her team is frustrated with her. She's frustrated with herself, and like my heart was melting for her because I know the feeling of like where you know that you are bombing, and you can't do anything about it.
And like, everything that you do just keeps like,
it's just like
falling flat. And well, I mean, this like you were saying before, like you know, this is like highlighting the fact that you know, like, acting is it's its own beast. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And then, of course, like, you know, acting on a green screen where you have to use your imagination, you have to, like, kind of figure out what...
there.
Yes, girl.
It's true.
Yes. Motion capture suits with, like, ping pong balls on them. I don't know. But, yeah, it's a lot. And then, of course, you're being judged because one of the judges is there directing the scene.
Yep.
And, bitch, they don't have their scripts on hand.
Nope.
They don't got their little cheat sheets like we do right now.
Right.
So I was feeling for her. And I was, you know, to be honest, like, when you are an actor and you are in front of the camera, you it could take you several takes to get that one right take.
Yeah.
Now, in real life situations, the audience never sees all the shitty takes that don't make it. They don't make the cut.
Yeah.
But on Drag Race, girl,
they want
you fuck
you to
up.
See it. They want you to
see it.
Yeah,
we gotta see it. We gotta see it. So every single line she fucked up, we gotta see. Some of them got to be repeated.
Yeah.
It was full on like highlighting how Boa cannot remember her lines. And I was feeling for her because, after last week, I'm rooting for her because she's such a fun drag queen. And to see her like come from such a high down to this, you're just like, okay girl.
But
okay,
isn't that what we do and how they work it on Drag Race? One day you're up and one day you're out, bitch. So it's important
who on that team did you enjoy watching on Team Boa?
Priyanka was funny to me. Of course I love Jimbo. She I'm just a fan. Like, I'm a fan. But yeah, Priyanka and Jimbo were the standouts for me for that team.
How about Team Anastasia?
Okay, so Kiara is a one takeover wonder. Like, she nails it. Like, she's a that bitch says okay and action and cut and scene and done, bitch.
Okay,
and
moving
done.
On,
bitch,
moving
yeah,
on.
She like that's how you do it, bitch. Like when it's right, it's right. Ain't no need to do it again. We got it.
Yeah, I give it up for her because, like, to be honest, like, she's one of the younger queens, so I'm a little bit like, okay, sure, whatever. But she did say that she, you know, grew up around acting, so this just came naturally to her, and I just really enjoyed watching her just kind of let loose, and, like, she wasn't taking it seriously, because it's Drag Race, you can't take it seriously. Like, no one expects you to be giving a Meryl Streep performance. We want to see you, yeah, we want to see you, like, making fart noises and falling on your ass and just being comical and dumb.
And she did that.
And she nailed it.
She did that. I mean, but Jeffrey had to kind of, like, really babysit Tainomi, you know?
Ooh.
She needed water. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Her throat was dry. Why is your throat dry, girl? You ain't saying nothing. The water,
you know,
ain't going to help it
say,
flow.
I got to say, I was surprised because Tainomi is the oldest queen here. She's been doing drag for a very long time. And so I kind of expected her to have a little bit more control over the situation.
She's out of her element, honey, and you can tell. And it was really evident that she hasn't been in this place before. Like, in a place of insecurity where she could not even control her own body reactions. Like, she dry mouth and the sweats and the nervousness and the... It's the downhill slope. I know how it goes.
Well, Latrice, now I know that you've been doing drag for a million years and a half. I mean, 65 million years since the dinosaurs went extinct. What was your first acting experience like in drag?
Oh, acting experience in drag.
Was it on Drag Race?
Hell no, no. I was in this movie. I was in a couple of movies. They went straight to Blockbuster, back when Blockbuster was a thing.
Okay. Wow.
There's one movie called The Hustle. I was, you know, of course, you know, I was in a strip club and watching strippers.
Of course.
And I was, you know, up in the front, and I was like, in my deepest, sexiest voice, telling the stripper, take it off, baby, take it off. There's one movie called My Baby's Daddy, where I played this. In my mind, I was fabulous. But, bitch, when I tell you she was busted, she walked around. In her mind, she was fabulous. Honey. She was walking around in capes and in the daytime in the house. She was walking around in capes and robes and things. And, baby, looking like who did it and why with no makeup on. But
girl,
her partner wanted to have a baby, and obviously I didn't. So very true today. So yeah, no kids for me. So I can relate to the character very well.
Just the fish, girl. Just the fish.
The fish. But anyway, it's Elimination Day, and
I love this,
yeah,
because we really get to know some of these queens, because the challenge this week for the runway is their first time, like their glow up from their first times in drags.
Ooh,
so we get to hear stories from like the queens and, you know, some of their earliest memories of doing drag.
Yes.
So Kine is talking about how she was wearing makeup in high school, and before her father died, like, he started to kind of understand her a little bit more and come to accept Kine doing drag, which I think is so sweet, because I think a lot of drag queens go through that situation. Like, it's hard enough for our parents to accept our, you know, our homosexuality and our lifestyle, but to then throw on a wig and that, like, it really is nerve-wracking to a lot of parents, because a lot of parents just don't understand, and they fear for their children, etc. And then on the other side, we have like Lemon and who was the other queen? Like, Lemon was talking with who had really supportive families.
Oh, correct. Yeah, super supportive, mom and dad. Yeah, which is consider yourself blessed, honey, because obviously, you know, the other side of that is Anastasia. She started drag in the Bahamas, where it is not accepted. And she had lots of friends who had been shot and murdered for doing drag.
Or for even being gay. I mean, that, like, already I was expecting a horror story because, you know, I'm familiar with some of, like, just the culture and how they treat gay people and our community.
Absolutely.
In the Caribbean. But, oh my gosh, like, it all of a sudden, like, put everything into perspective. It really, like, melted away any of my insecurities of when I came out with my family because, like, things can be god awful. And to hear the story of Anastasia, who's coming back home and had a bunch of people shooting at her car and being shot 3 times, that's scary. That's fucking scary, man.
Like, losing your life for something that you love, and it's really bringing other people joy and just being yourself. Like, to who would think that, like, you can die for just trying to be who you are? And I mean, she got hit 3 times, 3 bullets, and one is still in her kidney. And when I tell you, like, the power of a strong, strong bitch, she drove herself to the hospital to save her own life. And, you know, I literally was in tears listening to that story. And I'm so thankful that she shared the story, because I want all these people around the world to know that you are privileged and blessed to be able to celebrate and be who you are freely. And it is the people that have paved the way and fought and are still fighting for our rights and equality. And so I'm glad that she was able to seek refuge in Canada, and Canada opening up their arms to her, and she was able to start anew. And look at her now, continental fish.
I look at her now.
Look at now, she's on Drag Race. You know, it's just
it's crazy. It's crazy to hear this, especially in this day and age. And I know, like, you know, like, we feel powerful when we put on these wigs and these outfits, and it brings us a lot of strength. And it's still crazy to think that people are still so upset that someone can be their true self that they want to cause them harm.
They're not doing nothing to you. We're not doing anything to you. We over here doing our little podcast. Now, why should I have to die because I'm in drag doing a podcast? That is ridiculous. Like, it's bringing people joy, and Anastasia, you are a strong and powerful queen. We love you, and
thank you so much for sharing your story. Absolutely. It puts a lot of things into perspective for all of us queens whining about, like, the little shit. So I give it up to Anastasia.
People.
Yes, so thank you so much. All right, on that note, let's take a break so we can, like, dry our eyes and, like, refix our mascara. And we'll be right back, guys. And we are back. With the chop, with Patrice and Manila.
Welcome.
So, we are having our second ever runway. We got our judges looking fine as fuck. And our new guest host. Extra special guest host from Shadowhunters on Freeform, ABC Family, or whatever you want to call it. Jade Hasune.
He's a little cutie.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, my God. He looks tiny. You know, my husband is short, so I like them little pocket gays, you know. Fits in your carry-on. You can take it to the club.
Saves on baggage fees. I understand, honey.
Now, I don't know. Last week, I was bitching and moaning about the celebrity guest host. But for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's because, like, he a homo, or maybe it's because he's cute. But or maybe just because I'm getting used to it. But this guest host was a little bit easier to swallow. I wouldn't mind swallowing this one either, honey. So let's get to the runway. So our runway is, I think this is like a really, really fun runway challenge. This is a glow up from your very first times in drags. So we get to see, which I love, because we get to see these like old retro photos of these queens and their little like disposable camera click and like
right
take to the 1 hour photo, get duplicates printed so you can give them to your friends. Yeah, I love this. What'd you think of this challenge?
Oh my God, I'm here for it because I love to see the glow up, because it's real. I mean, thought we were turning it back in the day with our little...
And they were.
For back in the day. But honey, if we had known the things that we know now, we would have been a lot further off in our lives and our careers. But I was glad to see the little baby pictures, because it kind of shows you where they're coming from and how true they are to their characters today. So... I really
like seeing the glow up, because it was really cool. Because like when first they turn the corner and you see their outfit and they all look beautiful, but then they show
the picture,
like the before picture, and it's really cool to see like the difference.
Oh, but honey,
What are some of the ones that like stood out to you?
Oh my God, Lemon and those legs, that dress, that velvet gown was just sensational on her. And her legs all the way up to her forehead. I was like, bitch, that split on that dress was so sexy. And her body is so right. I was totally here for it. She looked gorgeous. The hair was laid. Makeup impeccable. So Lemon definitely was high marks for me.
I really liked Rita Baga. She had the sunflowers.
Oh, that turned out lovely too.
Yeah, I loved, because they showed the original, and you could tell like bitch went to the dollar store and bought like 10 whole dollars worth of sunflowers, and she like hot glued them to whatever dress she had. But now it was like the glow up was real, honey. She had like the oversized sunflowers on her shoulders, the little ones on her waist. I really liked seeing like how much she's evolved, because also Rita Baga has been doing drag longer than some of these other girls.
Correct.
So it is nice. There's more of a glow up, because there's more time that's gone by.
Right. And of course, Jimbo did not disappoint. That zombie cheerleader Halloween look.
Oh yeah.
Oh my, with the pigtail reveals, honey. Yes. Did not disappoint.
That reminded me of that one scene in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, when they do that little shake your groove thing, shake your groove thing, and they take the little pigtails off. I love that, because honestly, like I know that girl, like the before picture. I know that queen.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just the ripped up fishnets, just like the blood, just looking like a hot mess, like passed out on the staircase. I live for that. What are the ones that you didn't really like? Which ones did you not feel?
Kind, like, was basic. That was, no bueno.
Right? Yeah, girl, no bueno. Especially because it was referencing, like, Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
And I was like, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. You gotta go big, honey. Ursula, honey.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I liked her makeup. I thought the purple makeup was well done, but the rest of the outfit was just.
Well, the gag was that the judges were like, "We liked your before better than your now." That's the read of reads, honey. Like, you didn't glow up, bitch. You glue back. I mean, you turn out the lights, bitch. Like, I don't know what happened, but they were like not featuring it.
No. What do you think of Tainomi?
She had the
gray one
with
the hood and the ponytail.
Oh, looking like Joan of Arc or whatever, the medieval whatever with the hood.
Yes, the Crusaders. Search for the Holy Grail.
Yeah, no, I don't get it. Like, I didn't get it. I mean, I wasn't completely offended, but I did not get it.
No? See, I actually liked it. I might have liked it
with a boot or something, not with them pumps.
Yeah, I think that's where the problem came in, was it was the weird, you know, $7.99 fishnets, the random just pump. It should have been a stronger
boot. Look. You got armor. It's still like armor up the top, you know, from head to shoulder. And then we got...
And then it was just like, you know...
Business.
Hooker on the corner from the waist down. Yeah, I think that's where it lost me. Yeah. And also, that ponytail, honey. Come on, Tainomi. Could we get an extra pack of hair in that ponytail?
There was like 3 strands of hair coming out of the back of that thing. And it got caught in the sequence. So I was like, well, where is the hair?
Oh, see, that's the other thing. No, when you're wearing long hair and you're wearing sequins, it is a nightmare.
Yeah, so that wasn't very well thought out. But we live and learn. Bitch. Now, Scarlett coming out on the runway and then eating fire, bitch. Like, who does that? Now, that's the first in drag history.
That is the first. Although I got to say that I do remember Ivy Winters, who is also a trained juggler, trained circus clown and fire eater. And she also can throw knives and hit a mark, so like she could throw knives at my head and miss my head, or not miss my head if she wanted to,
or not.
But I do remember her telling me that she just didn't tell the producers, she didn't give the producers enough time to get the fire marshal in. So I was so happy to see Scarlett Bobo come out there and do the fire tricks, because it hasn't been done on Drag Race yet.
Well, good, yeah, she did it too. She did it with ease. That means she must have a real wet, moist mouth.
Yes, honey. And after all that fire, it's nice and warm too. I mean, you put things inside of it. It's like hot, just like a fiery, hot moist
saliva. Yeah.
And those big lips she has. Okay, Scarlett Bobo, we both gonna be calling you so that we can do an OnlyFans account with you.
We gonna pimp you out, ho.
Okay, so I love this. I love this thing because we got to see the glow up of the girls. I feel like we got to know them a lot better, like just from like being in the workroom and talking about their past and their struggles, and now seeing the pictures of their past and how much they struggled putting makeup on.
Right.
So now it's time for us to watch their final heritage performances.
And
okay, so first up we have Boa's team, the Muffer Jibets. The Muffer Jibets.
And, you know, Priyanka and Jimbo, like I said, they were the standout performers for me. And, the rest of the team kind of let themselves down. I was like, what happened? What going on? And, yeah, so good for Priyanka and Jimbo.
Overall, I thought that one just had a really weird pace. And I don't know if that's like the editing or if it was the direction or if it was like the performance, but it just felt super slow.
Yeah.
Well,
that's because they didn't know their lines.
True. So, I mean, so I guess that's what they had to work with.
Like, if you got
to
wait for the line, bitch, yeah, it's going to throw off the pacing just a little bit.
But thank God, because for, the other team, I think theirs was much more successful and more entertaining.
I laughed a lot. Kiara, Lemon, hilarious.
Oh my gosh, Lemon. Lemon killed it.
Yes, she did. But Kiara was like, for me, that bitch was so stupid. She just threw herself completely into it, like full out. So I really enjoyed her performance.
Yeah, I think that was fantastic as well.
So as they we get to find out who's safe, and it's Anastasia, Ilona, Rita, and Scarlett. They're all safe queens.
Okay, so I agree with that.
I'm cool with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
So now the judges are critiquing the girls. They loved Lemon's performance like we did, which is great because she had a bad week last week. So to see her, you know, rise from the ashes and perform well was nice to see. Tainomi, they weren't feeling the outfit.
No.
They liked her presentation on the runway. They thought it was better than the deer in the headlights from the last episode. But her acting was as expected. Mom. Yeah, it was not the tea, girl. Mm-hmm. It was not the tea. So she's at risk, honey.
Right.
And then they had Kiara, who they thought did pretty well in the acting challenge, although they think that she was kind of a little bit more, like, a little forgettable, you know?
Now, this is what I want to do because it's delicate, and I want to not make sure that I'm making light of something that is more serious than it is. But, you know, she being critiqued on her runway walk, and baby, that walk is special. So I didn't know whether it was like a medical condition or she just came walking heels.
So, okay, yeah. Especially after watching her walk last week.
I mean,
well, here's the deal. For Stacey McKenzie to be giving you tips on how to walk a runway is something that hopefully Kiara will be able to you know, she'll be able to, like, you know, learn from, because she's sickening. I like Kiara. She did a great job. I liked her entire look. Although honestly, like, she only started drag like 6 months ago. So like her look literally was the same look. So,
well, she walks like a baby deer. So yeah, she got to work on that.
Then we have Boa, who I thought was fantastic. I thought she looked sickening.
She looked good, but baby.
But like after last week's runway presentation, where she was able to show off a lot of her personality, I think that they had a little bit higher expectations than her just, you know, walking down the runway and modeling.
Well, that, and you know, you can tell her spirit was totally diminished from knowing that she did not do better good looking in the challenge, and she really was the weakest link as the team captain, you know. So.
Yeah, but I don't buy it, because like Priyanka had kind of the same like attitude. She was like, well, if I sucked in the thing, well, I'm gonna stomp that runway like
right.
I'm a supermodel, so hopefully that'll save me. But yeah, her runway look was kind of a little slow. They were like, Jesus Christ, taking her time.
She took forever, baby, to get down that runway. But yeah, it definitely was the slowest walk ever.
I mean, I don't blame her though, because like you only get to walk that runway like that one time, so like you really want to milk that. Let the judges get into the look. Our tops are Jimbo, Kiara, Priyanka, and Lemon. We got four tops here. Okay, they can start their own doo-wop band.
I mean, not the four tops.
Shut up. And the winner this episode is Lemon.
Lemon, from bottom to top.
Yes, work it out.
She's
bitch.
A burst queen. Mm-hmm. We love a burst queen.
A nice little prize of makeup, which is good, because wasn't she saying that she didn't have enough makeup when she came into this competition? Was
well,
that her?
She does now, honey, because you will get your fill of Anastasia Beverly Hills, darling, valued
girl,
at $5,000, honey.
Canadian.
Get all of
No, girl, I literally, when we went to All Stars, we were given like these giant makeup cases.
Huge.
of Anastasia.
Like we have the whole line.
With every
like
shade you can think of, everything. Girl, I still can't get rid of it fast enough.
Oh, no, really. I feel
so,
like,
Lemon, you go have makeup for a while. So I'm expecting to see some good looks for you
fine,
in the future,
girl.
Okay?
You'll be real fine.
Our bottom two, girl. Who's our bottom two?
Our bottom two is Kine and Tainomi. Accurate.
I expected Tainomi to be in the bottom because she wasn't. But Kine, I was not expecting Kine to be in the bottom from her performance. But maybe it was because her runway was
her runway put her down there. Because she was teetering on safe. Because I did not hate her in the thing. in the little performance, but I kind of felt like it was a week late. She should have been in the bottom last week, but
I feel like it was like a whole like, I'm sorry, you're forgiven, you're in the bottom. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, that probably is true. That is it. You're forgiven. I mean... Well, you are going home. How about that? So,
so our lip sync song is "If You Could Read My Mind."
Jonathan Enrique, that used to be the jam back in the day.
That was a jam. Okay, first of all, I love Alternate. Amber, love Alternate. Of course. Okay. And Jocelyn Enriquez is one of my favorites because she's Filipina like me.
Baby.
So like, and she got a voice on her.
They
and I wish that the bitch would have come out with more albums. I love this lip sync. I thought the two of them did a great job at the lip sync.
Yeah, I did too.
I really liked because there's three singers in this song. So like the girls had a lot to work with.
Pick apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Tainomi wins the lip sync, and so she gets to stay for another week. And that and of course, she's having a little bit of a breakdown. And this is where I was like, okay, it's time for her to go. When Kine got up there, she's like, stop crying. This is my moment.
Girl!
It was like when LaGanja Estrada was like, this is my moment. I feel very attacked. Girl.
Oh, my word. Yeah, it was time for her to exit the building, honey. And thank you very much. Please see the receptionist on the way out.
Do not pass go. Yes. Do not collect $200.
Do not. Just punch it, honey.
But the one thing that I will say is that finally, Kine understood that she was not the shit. You know what I mean? She knew she lost that lip sync.
Well,
she knew she was going home.
Yeah. Well.
Unlike last time where she's like, I'm very happy with my performance. I really like my outfit.
Not on tonight.
I forgive you,
We do too. Now, sashay away. I will say, and all jokes aside, I commend these girls for their bravery and their entertainment value because I'm highly entertained. And also for them being so vulnerable and opening and sharing their life struggles, you know, especially, you know, in particular Anastasia. Yeah, I hope they continue this track of entertainment, because this is what the world needs right now. We all need a little bit of happiness.
And girl, we
joy.
Are getting it. And
I'm getting my full joy.
I'm a little sad because like we're already two episodes into Canada's Drag Race, which means that there's only a few more. There's only a few more left. There's like six more episodes, 10 more episodes. Well, that does it for our review of episode 2 of Canada's Drag Race. Thank you so much for listening to The Chop with Latrice and me, Manila.
We have new episodes every Monday, so make sure you subscribe to our show and you can rate and review us on your podcast app.
Yes, and of course, please we want to learn as much as we can about our sisters up north. So if you have any comments or anything, please reach out to us. Correct us if we're wrong. Inform us of the tax situation up there in Canada, or whatever commercials you guys have on TV. So you can email us at latriceandmanila@gmail.com. That's latriceandmanila@gmail.com. We look forward to reading your emails and your comments. Thank you so much for listening, guys.
And we will see you next time. Make sure you follow us. And we'll talk to you next week when we find out who gets the chop.
The Chop is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Crave Canada, or any of their subsidiaries.
It is intended for entertainment and information purposes only.
Canada's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever! Dog!
The Chop is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media.
Ma.
Hosted by Latrice Royale and Manila Luzon.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Executive produced by Willem Belli.
Alaska Thunderfuck.
Brett Boehm.
Joe Cilio.
And Alex Ramsey.
Our theme song is The Chop by Manila Luzon and Latrice Royale.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.